Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world. Our sermon this morning is from Matthew chapter 6. And the title of the sermon is taken from probably the greatest, It is taken from the greatest sermon ever preached. In fact, the title of the sermon is a command repeated three times in the same sermon by our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. Now, as I wrote this command down, I was struck with how easily words can lose their weight. For example, you find an adorable little cute girl doing something incredibly adorable, and you'll find an equally adorable Danny who will go to this cute little girl and say, "Ach, shame. Isn't she cute?" Shame? What is shameful about an adorable little girl? Or what if you had a friend who is known for always being late? And they say to you that I will take you to the airport or to the bus station. Your first response is, I'm okay, I'll take an Uber. They insist, I promise you, I will be here on time. I assure you, I will make it. Again, you say, this is not a reflection of my love for you. I love you so much. I just don't trust you. They come back to you and they say the famous words, don't worry. Muni warini. I promise I will be on time and I will take you to the airport. You hear the words, but because of who said them, you're not entirely convinced. Now imagine for a moment, you're sitting in your home and an extremely wealthy man or a man with great power known for his kindness and generosity walks into your home. He tells you that he's heard of all the struggles that your family is going through, and he says, don't worry, I will take care of you. Now, I know living in South Africa, there's some skeptics in the room who are saying, yeah, but what's the catch? That's a sermon for another day. But what I want you to hear is those same words, don't worry, muni warini, suddenly carry weight. Why? Because of who said them. Now this raises a question for us this morning. What should it mean for us when Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the King of kings, the good shepherd of the sheep, says to you, do not be anxious. What should it mean for those words to come to you coming from the lips of Jesus? So read with me in Matthew chapter 6. From verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour in his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today was alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray together. Lord, your words indeed are wonderful. Like Peter responded to you, we also are asking the question, where else can we go? For you have the words of eternal life. So as we come to these words, we pray by your Spirit, God, won't you open up our minds and our hearts to see and understand the mysteries of God. But God, I realize, even as I preach the sermon, there's one who is here who is currently experiencing those troubles of today, burdened in their hearts, anxious. I pray that this sermon would be a sermon in season for them. I also pray for us as a church, God, seeing such greater number being sent from among us, we too may be anxious. I pray that this too is a sermon in season for us. I ask you, God, won't you use your word to minister to us, and I pray, help us see Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Ligan Duncan, speaking about anxiety, says, anxiety is a respectable sin. He goes on to say, Christians know that they are not supposed to murder, they're not supposed to commit adultery, lie, cheat, or steal, or at least they know that they are not supposed to admit that they do these things. But we all admit to one another that we worry. And perhaps we do so because we don't realize what a vital spiritual issue anxiety is. You see, anxiety can be traced back to unbelief, but we need to understand that correctly. Anxiety is not necessarily the outright rejection of God, but it is a functional unbelief, a moment where we are not trusting him as we should. Remember in Matthew chapter 14, Peter and the disciples were on the boat and they see this figure walking on the water. And the Bible says that they were terrified. Jesus said to them, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Peter says to him, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And in faith, Peter gets out of the boat and does what is unbelievable. He walks on water. But then, in a moment, fear creeps in. He sees the wind and the waves, and his attention shifts from Christ to his circumstances. Peter begins to sink. Notice what was happening there is that the same Peter who had faith to do the unimaginable, to walk on water, sees that same faith weaken or fail in the face of fear. That's often how anxiety works in our lives. We do trust God, but then the waves get louder. The circumstances feel bigger, and slowly our eyes shift from the loving care of our Father to our present fears. We begin to doubt that God will provide for us, and so we become anxious. And in our anxiety, we start to take control. We take the reins of our lives, striving to secure what we believe we need. But when that pursuit fails us, as it often does, our anxiety only deepens. And if left unchecked, it can even lead us to question God himself, to wonder if God has forgotten us, has God abandoned us. Jesus says to you this morning, therefore, do not be anxious. He starts by saying, do not be anxious about your life. Look at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You'll notice verse 25 starts with therefore. In light of what Jesus has preached earlier, he says, do not be anxious about your life. Jesus in this portion is not changing topics, but he's drawing towards a conclusion. So we must inquire, what did he say earlier? In verses 19 to 24 of the same passage, Jesus was pressing a central issue. Where is your treasure? Who is your master? In that passage, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because everything here is temporary. Moth and rust destroy. Thieves break in and steal. Instead, he says, lay up treasures in heaven. Why? Because the kingdom of God is eternal. It is secure. It is lasting. He then presses the matter even further in the sermon where he says, you cannot serve both God and money. Friends, our natural bent is continually between these two directions. It's either we are pressing towards God or we are overcome by the necessities of life. So here's the connection in the sermon. If your treasure is on earth and your heart is tied to this world, then anxiety will be inevitable. It will enslave you and it will render you ineffective for the kingdom of God. If you go back and consider verse 23, he says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If your eye is fixed on earthly pursuits, the love of money, then be expectant that great emptiness and darkness will fill your heart. The promises of money, the promises of pleasure, the promises of this world will never satisfy you. Friend, if you are here to build your kingdom in this world, then I want to tell you, you're only building a sandcastle. When the winds blow and the rain comes, that earthly kingdom will be blown away. Everything you live for now, friend, can be lost. Everything you depend on can be taken away. Everything you treasure can fail you. And that's why Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious about your life. That phrase, do not be anxious, is again repeated three times. It is a command, and that phrase is literally take no thought of. It should be reminded when Paul says, take your mind captive. So the first one is, take no thought of your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. You see, Jesus, the master teacher, he goes straight to our everyday concerns that dominate our thinking. Food, drink, clothing, the basic necessities of life. He asks the question, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? If God has given you life itself, will he not provide what is necessary to sustain it? If God has not given you the purpose of your life, will he not provide what is necessary to fulfill that purpose? Jesus says, look outside. Look at the birds and consider the lilies. That word, look, means become a birder. Book some leave. Go out to the Kruger National Park and study the birds. Now, some people are excited about that. Some of us aren't. But the point is, Jesus says, go to the Kruger, see the birds, and investigate what they do. He says, you'll see that they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them all. God, who sits in heaven, who holds the whole universe in the palm of his hand, considers the birds, even those scary-looking pigeons in the city center, he considers those birds so valuable that he faithfully cares for them. These birds are void of reason, they are void of the soul, and yet he faithfully provides for their needs. As you investigate the life of a bird, you will see that they wake up in the morning, they go looking for a worm for food, they go collecting twigs to build a nest, and they go about this expectant that God will provide these things. Whilst they do this, they sing. They display their beauty and their beautiful colors and their wingspan to the glory of God. And in all of this, you will not find a bird flapping in the sky anxious. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Are you not more valuable than that scary-looking pigeon in the city center? You see, friends, this is an honest question from a compassionate Savior. Which of you has extended your life by worrying? How has your anxiety been working for you? It promises control, but it delivers nothing. It offers solution, but only multiplies sorrow. Anxiety cannot add a single hour to your life. If anything, it robs you of the life you have now. Here's the humbling reality. Your life is not ultimately sustained by your hard work. It is not sustained by your striving. Yes, food, drink, and clothing are necessary. Yes, wise stewardship of your body matters, gym, diet, healthy lifestyle, but none of these are sovereign over your days. Your life is completely in God's hands. Psalm 39, verse 4 to 5 reminds us, "Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing before you." In other words, your days are measured, they are known, they are appointed by God. So you can eat McDonald's every day and God keeps you. And you can eat greens every day and God keeps you. Or you can eat greens every day and die tomorrow and eat McDonald's every day and die tomorrow. The point is your life is in God's hand. But don't eat McDonald's every day. So friends, anxiety is not only faithless, it is also futile. Look at verse 28. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What Jesus says is, when you're down at the Kruger National Park, go to Colburn. Go and study the jacaranda trees. Consider how they've lost all their color. Some are brown, some have lost their leaves. But consider how faithfully they stand in their place, waiting expectantly for the Lord to dress them in all their glory for a short season in the summer. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon, the richest man to have ever lived, who built a massive kingdom, who built the temple of the Lord, with all of his glory, does not compare to a jacaranda tree that God has clothed. Do not be anxious about your life. George Mueller says the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. O you of little faith, why are you anxious? Is not your life more valuable than food and clothes? Number two. Do not be anxious, but seek his kingdom. Verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we wear? What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be anxious about what you will eat, drink, or put on your body. You will notice Jesus moves from internal anxiety to spoken anxiety. The anxiety has now taken root and is now shaping our thinking, our conversations, and even our outlook of life. Jesus says that this behavior is the behavior of an unbeliever. He says the Gentiles seek after these things. The Gentiles live their lives in pursuit of material gains. It is the Gentiles who are obsessed about what they eat, what they drink, and about the clothes they put on. Just put on Instagram and you'll see that this is true. The person whose life revolves around food, drink, and clothes will inevitably bow his knee to the master of money. Here's the heart of the issue. Look at verse 32 and 33. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, Jesus does not deny that you have needs. In fact, he affirms your needs. He affirms food, drink, and clothing. These things matter. Not only do these things matter, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. That should change everything. Because you're no longer living to secure these needs, but you are now free to seek his kingdom, knowing that your heavenly Father knows you have these needs, will provide for these needs, and so you can seek his kingdom. Believer, knowing that your Father knows, go about your Father's business. Seek, pursue, devote your life to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make that your first priority, your chief aim, your ruling ambition. Ask yourself, is what I am about to say going to advance the kingdom of God? Is what I'm about to do going to advance the kingdom of God and his glory? Don't ask these questions with anxious striving, but with confident trust. Like the birds, you still labor, you still rise, you still work, but you do so resting in this reality that your Father in heaven will provide. But be careful. It's easy for us to be mindless robots seeking the kingdom of God externally or religiously without hearts that are set aside for him. And so Jesus adds, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. To the unbeliever in the room, you cannot be freed from your anxiety without the righteousness of Christ, which gives you access to the loving Father in heaven. You need to pursue this righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, believer, you cannot pursue the kingdom of God your way. You can't be living in sin, claiming to seek his kingdom. His kingdom is marked by holiness, by his loving devotion to Christ. You cannot pursue his kingdom without his righteousness. And so Jesus gives you this promise. All these things will be added to you. Not necessarily all you want, but all that your loving Father knows that you need. So you can loosen your grip. You can fix your heart on the King because you have a Father in heaven who cares for you. Oh, believer, he knows. He knows you need that job. He knows. He knows your heart is sore, still grieving the passing of a loved one. He knows. He knows that your business is struggling. He knows. He knows that rent is due. He knows. He knows how much you struggled to get to month end and you've already been paid, but you don't know how you're going to survive. He knows. He knows the weight of medical bills. He knows. Your Father in heaven knows. And be encouraged, because not only does he know, but he cares for you. Your Father will not fail to provide what you truly need. So, dear believer, you are not forgotten. You are not overlooked. You are not on your own. You have a Father in heaven. He knows and he cares. Central Baptist Church, you are sending 3 elders, 3 deacons, and faithful, active members to plant a church in Centurion. You are sending your best. These have served the church. They have given to the church. They will definitely leave a mark. it is natural to be anxious. But hear the words of the Lord in this passage. Do not be anxious, because the Lord will provide. We don't have the money for this church plant. But friends, the Lord knows that. We don't know who He will send. We don't know who He will raise from among us to shepherd the flock and fill the gap that remains here at Central Baptist Church. But the Lord knows that. He knows exactly what Central Baptist Church needs, and He will provide. He has done it for 135 years. He will not stop today. He is calling us now to seek first His kingdom. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors, as He has forgiven us. Number three, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Therefore, as I close, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In light of all that I've said, Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough of its own evils, other translations say. Tomorrow has enough of its own adversities that you worrying about it today will not change or deal with it tomorrow. Focus on your troubles today. Peter says, humble yourselves. And I want to call you this morning, humble yourselves. You don't have all the answers to your anxieties. You don't have the wisdom. Your wisdom is limited. You don't have the strength to overcome your anxieties. All your attempts to be satisfied were vain and empty until the moment Jesus rescued you and His love fills you. What blessed assurance is found in Him. So humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. So I want to close the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 from verse 5. He says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As you bring your anxieties to God, not hiding them, not trying to manage them on your own, but laying them before the throne of grace in prayer with thanksgiving, God will meet you there. Not always by immediately changing your circumstances, but by giving you something deeper. He will give you His peace. A peace that surpasses understanding, that does not make sense in light of your situation, and that stands guard over your heart and your mind, not allowing you to be ruled by fear or consumed by the question, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? Friends, in Christ, you know this. You have a Heavenly Father who knows and cares. Therefore, do not be anxious. Let's pray. In the silence now, I'd like to give you an opportunity in your heart. That passage in 1 Peter says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. I want to encourage you now here this morning, won't you cast those anxieties to Him? What are those burdens that are weighing you down? Won't you commit them now to Jesus, taking His yoke which is light? Maybe you're anxious about this church plant. Won't you commit it to Him? Cast it upon Him, trusting that your Father in heaven knows. take a moment now and just pray in your heart. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Often, God, we are like Peter who, Lord, we have zealous faith. But then, God, the wind gets louder. Our circumstances feel deeper. And so we too, Lord, lose sight of Jesus and start to drown in our circumstances. This morning, I do pray, won't you work in our hearts that we would trust you. Not only believing in you for the security of eternity, but believing in you for even our security today. That God, you care for us intimately and you will provide for our needs. And so as prayers have been lifted up here this morning, I ask you, God, won't you hear them? Won't you answer the prayers of your children? Won't you lift up their burdens and give them that peace of Christ, guarding their hearts and minds from deepening anxiety? And so I do pray, Lord, won't you free your people here this morning? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, to trust fully in our Heavenly Father. And so I pray it will be said of us, that we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, trusting that all these things, food, drink, and clothing, will be added to us. To the glory of your name I pray. Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.